Hi, I'm Gil Headley, and I'm the proud sponsor of the Anatomy and Movement Channel. Welcome. This conference is important. It's both groundbreaking and ground-building. Literally hundreds of thousands of us have gathered here to expand our experience of embodiment, and in so doing, evolve the embodied experience of our world. Embodiment is a practice that anchors us consciously into that which is common to us all, our human body. Regardless of our differences, and we have them, we all live out our lives in a body, and we're all connected by that shared experience. I've been developing integral anatomy for the past 25 years. I believe the human body is not a problem to be solved, but rather a gift to be received and explored. Integral anatomy is an approach to understanding the whole body, which emphasizes textural layers, continuities, and relationships. We notice differences not to create separation, but to appreciate that which unites us all. I'll be presenting here on the Anatomy and Movement Channel, as well as on the main stage, and I hope you'll join me to explore the heart of inner space. And for further study with me, check out my website, gilheadley.com. When you join my site, you'll automatically receive 3 free full-length courses because I'm on a mission to share what I've learned through my own deep exploration of the human form. And I'm certain that these courses will enhance and transform your own embodiment practice. I hope you enjoy the presentation.
We will, I'm sure. And I'm going to introduce you now to Christine Cole. Christine is the founder and director of Somatic Body Training Program, is an expert in the embodiment of human development. As a result of 30 years of engaging deeply in learning and teaching the somatic body practices of body-mind centering, dance movement and body work, Christine clearly embodies the material she has evolved and models a deep understanding of how the body systems change in various developmental stages. About this workshop of today, Christine said, "I will use the early embryonic development where all systems are dynamically connected and developing in overlapping ways as a template for the true embodied experience. Be ready to learn, be ready to move." So I am very excited. So with no further ado, the word to you, Christine. Thank you.
Thank you, Sylvia. So nice to meet you this way. I am I'm here at the end of this embodiment conference teaching about complexity. And I just want to invite you at any point to write anything in the chat along the way or stay just dedicated to your body, to your own research in your body, in your writing. If you'd like to enter something now, what you come with, that would be so lovely to hear as I continue speaking. Simultaneousness. So are you full of information? Are you swimming the currents of the conference? What is your state right now? This is an experiment in multiplicity of information and actions. And I just want to invite you with all that. I don't need you to clear your slate and listen to me. I am actually inviting you right now, do what you need to do. Look away from the screen. Just accept your state now and maybe feel what you feel. Feel the excitement, feel the overload, feel the, what is it you feel? Anytime we start a class as teachers, I think it's important to honor that we are working with researchers of life, researchers of the body, researchers of the mind, and to invite all these capacities in. So I'm inviting you in with who you are, and I want to let you know that it's good in this class to track in the way you do and to be inspired by whatever you are inspired by in this class here. So you are welcome to hear something and spend the whole class figuring that out. Oh, it's so great to hear. There's a lot of curiosity and intrigue going on. So take a moment in movement or in stillness or in your writing to just for a moment acknowledge and assess different facets of what you're coming with. So just sit with it. Today, I will give you ways to acknowledge that the body is functioning, whether we think it, whether we know it at all. The nervous system is the last to know. So we are riding on billions of years of cellular research. We literally had the first cell arrive when it was 3.8 billion years ago. Billion. So for a moment, just rest on the fact that your cells are, they've had time to know what it is to be a cell and have a membrane. Just because you now in your 20th century kind of go, oh, what's a cell? Your cells have had billions of years of different waves of evolution to know themselves. So just breathe that in. Just give it back. Give back what our Western industrialist mind tries to hold on to and capture. Give it back to the cells. Admire them. They've had time. They've had many waves of development to base their actions on. Each cell is autonomous. Each cell makes decisions on what to let in and what to put out. Each cell can transform. So just staying with that research meditation of being an evolutionary body. For me in this moment, it's a large thing to accept, comprehend. Let that energy, let that motion, let that into you. Let that into you because it's already there. What we're often researching, embodiment centering and somatic body and embodiment, is what is already there, not something we discover or create in the moment. So let's switch our point of view and become in awe. So evolutionarily, we went from one cell with a membrane to a double membrane. We went from a single cell to a cell that invited in other cells, other bacteria, other cells, and one of them is the mitochondria. These are the cells that are able to create energy in our body. So for 1.5 billion years, we have accepted the symbiosis of other cells entering us to become a multicellular, more intelligent cell. And from there, we became colonies of cells, slime mold, incredibly active, incredibly responsive, incredibly engaging with their environment, incredibly community-oriented in how they move. So you have these communities of cells also, I don't know how many billion, maybe a billion of years. And evolution got to have growth spurts and then rest. Growth spurts and rest over millions of years. And so let's take that into our body and know that this rhythm of growing, following that wave of growth and then resting, and then another growth spurt, following that flow, that wave, that transformation, and resting. And in the resting, there's a regathering of energies, and then a new development opens up. So here we are in a wave and a rhythm of embryonic transformation. We are in the pulse of creation. And I'd like to, while you seem all really in your body and engaged, stay engaged with your mind, your thoughts, your body, your cells, the rhythm. And I will take you to a video that shows this embryonic rhythm. Here we go. And just allow that. This is faster than a normal development, but this is the pulse of embryological becoming. First from one cell to 2, to 4, to 8, 16, to 32. And here we have the body folding and becoming and twitching. That was it. That was very quick. Let's do it one time, and I will set it slower. Set it much slower. These videos run at a very fast speed over hours. Just feel it in your body, the pulse of becoming. The cells making decisions. This is the banding up of cell communities to create furrows, to create flexion, to create extension, to create new areas, to separate, differentiate. Here it's about the cells multiplying within the same size membrane, sharing the fluids, sharing what is available. And now we have body forming. We have, this is not a human. So we, in the human, we would see a line. Here we see a hole open. Here we see the line of the nervous system. Here we see a front and back. Here we see the twitch. Here we see the flexion extension. And what we don't see is all the internal migrations and changes in the embryo. How are you doing? Okay, so you're welcome at any point to share something in the chat. You might be feeling like that we are on a developmental pathway. Yes, the rhythm. So let that rhythm for a moment expand in your body. Just allow your limbs, allow your body to go into a three-dimensional flexion and extension pattern. So a flexion is head to tail flexion, and this is lateral flexion. And together, it is a pulse that unifies us around our navel. And you can be like an astronaut embryo with its connection to the navel. And just find that twitch, your own flow. Yes, just finding that rhythm. Sometimes the inner movement of the cells developing and the outer movement of the amnion and the placenta moving are you and your environment creating yourself. And now, because you are already formed, you can start finding your vertical axis, the ancient nadi cord, the ancient core of knowing. And behind that, your nervous system folds in and creates a tube. A tube from head through to your tail. And because you have that rhythm and because you have the greater community of yourself within your skin and the self around you, the amnion is yourself and the placenta is yourself supporting you. Because you have that rhythm, all simultaneous actions, the creation of organs, creation of your lungs sprouting, the creation of your nervous system growing and folding into the brain simultaneously with your bony spine growing around the spinal cord simultaneously in different rhythms within you. We have blood vessels forming. We have sexual organs forming. We have our mouth opening to the amnion and our anus so that The amnion can flow through us. We have bones growing. We have limbs rotating. That's good. I'm seeing you stick to one thing I say and let the others just be part of your amnion knowing. Go to your rhythmic embodiment within and around you. Going to give you a few minutes to follow your nose, follow the next, follow the now. Follow your breath. Follow your embryonic rhythm. Riding it. Letting your ears form maybe, or your mouth. Maybe let your fingers, your webbed fingers, start taking away the skin between the fingers to have separate fingers, separate toes. Perhaps simultaneously, you're feeling your heart pump and your blood vessels pump throughout your body. Perhaps the fluid around your nervous system is developing simultaneously. Perhaps your eggs and your sperm are developing simultaneously as your liver fits right under the diaphragm and your diaphragm knits together from many different muscles. As the ribs grow their boniness and their structure. What is it like to have me describe the simultaneity of all these instead of the sequential? No, simultaneous sequences of the organs, simultaneous sequencing of the nervous system, the placenta growing fat and strong to support your growing body, the amnion filling out. What is it like to allow, maybe now even your brain can start encompassing that. Let there be space and fluid around your brain to allow for the opportunity to perceive through rhythm, through your body, that all is well and all is creating itself. Giving it back to the cells, giving it back to billions of years of evolution. We are riding on this practice. We are riding on the practice of the universe as it grew and as it's reflected in our body and as it's finally reflected in our genome. Wow, so let's hear a few things that are up and be kind to yourself as you come back or don't come back. Just stay in the net of this group that is right now in this practice of simultaneousness, and allow for the fact that there are probably 5 other groups going on in embodiment, and there's probably families that are around you, and there's probably many beautiful natural events going on, of waterfalls or oceans. So just expand that. Yeah, I'll be reading the chat. So let's see. Honest, intuitive. Makes sense, natural, good to be in non-linear, unfolding, outfolding. Feeling disconnected. Thank you for sharing that. This is part of our connectedness, is knowing when we're not connected. A silence, a strength, a knowing. Overall intelligence of rhythm, soft. Yeah, hi. So we've entered into the material. We're halfway through the hour. And I want to tell you about the little baby I met who got me on this pathway. So stay in your embryonic evolutionary body, and now you can be in your baby body with me. So this baby came with her parents, and they were concerned about her. They were young. It was their first baby. They thought she was brilliant, as all babies are, and they were cautious with her, concerned, and a little bit like they felt like they had a miracle baby, and they weren't. She put her a little bit on a pedestal. So, and this was a new mom, so she was really trying to really nurse the baby a lot, give the baby a lot of, follow her cues, respond to her. And it ended up being that the baby was kind of sleepy and not really fully there. And I listened to them. They were such a lovely family, and the baby was like, I was in love immediately. And when I was, when we got to the part of the session where I held her, I spontaneously just started to speak with her in one rhythm, move her in another rhythm, and touch her in a different rhythm. So 3 rhythms. And this baby woke up. This baby was like, okay, this is the world I am happy in. This is what I can relate to. She came out in her, like, she was a gorgeous genius baby. And she was like, okay, this is it. I'm good. And it clicked on me as a teacher that sometimes when people don't understand what you're teaching, or you think they're not understanding, or you, our tendency is to try to make it simpler and simpler and simpler and simpler. And now, and you get bored. I'm sorry, you just get bored. Like, instead of like uplifting it to a higher state of consciousness, which often gurus do, they speak slower and slower and slower, and the slower you speak, the more enlightened you are, and you create pauses, and everything is, can be answered with one thing. But if you've lost the process on the way, you're lost or you're bored. So I started trying my life with this concept. Someone came over, she's like, I don't know if I like the color of my kitchen. And there was like a yellow and a blue or something. I'm like, why don't you add purple? Why don't you add complexity? And I was like, oh, what a, you know. And I was in classes when people get lost, instead of like taking away, I add in more information to the soup. And it's worked. I'm very, very surprised and happy. And so this has been my research. I'm seeing some nodding from the people that are in my group, some recognizing of our struggles as teachers to, you know, keep our students awake and happy. So one thing I modeled in the beginning was sometimes we strip everything from our students when they come in. We're like, okay, pay attention to me. Forget everything you know. Let's start. I'm going to construct a kingdom here and I want you to follow it. And today I started with the opposite. Like, come with all that you have. It's complex, but it's beautiful. I know you're on your own research practice. I know there's a lot of connections you're making. So how can you accept this complex student into your practice? I did go to the cells. If I go to the thinking brain, I get people who want to understand everything right away in a beautiful complexity. For me as a somatic explorer, I run everything through the embodiment mill so that, and that doesn't necessarily mean slowing down. Sometimes you actually do the opposite. You start adding so many things that people need to show up. So I was teaching with Bonnie embryology years ago. And I wanted to try this out. I created four groups because they were researching four different things. And I warned them, I said, I will give you a direction. I will say it once. And then I want you to go to your group and figure out what did I really say and how are you going to accomplish this? So I said something that had three things, that they had to do three things, and I said it once, and then I sent them to their group. So what I wanted was to start a learning process that dealt with the true engagement of the cells, the students. They had to communicate. So some people would come in and like, I don't even know what she said. What's going on? Like freaking out. And other people like, I know what she said. And other people like, oh yeah. And then she said this. And so the action of these groups reconstructing what the job is, was the learning, was the model of the cellular learning I wanted to start. And what happens as a teacher is that you have to let go of the outcome. You have to be more interested in how you start this evolutionary, embryological communication of communities, of cells that start the learning, the true learning. I don't want to isolate people. I don't want to say things in classes where people have to feel stressed, like, did I understand her? Do I get it? So getting people, which we can't hear, unfortunately, so I'll just talk about it, but getting people to engage with the material and with each other is the embryonic evolutionary learning. All right, so please write some questions in the Q&A. And maybe we can chat a little around that. And then I have another movement exploration.
Wonderful. So there are already two questions for you, Christine. The first comes from Andrea, and it says, to come with all you are, is that inviting people with all their unique intersectionality?
Yes. Yes, we do not need to model our students. Yes. Oh my gosh, I am so happy to hear that. Like, I'm not, maybe not enough, but not as interesting that you learn exactly what I'm saying. I want you to notice when you resonate with something and that you start and engage your own process with my teaching. And that's how I learn more about what I'm teaching, by people responding uniquely, naturally, with curiosity and with engagement. Beautiful, thank you.
Oh, wonderful. Oh. And then we have another question from Sarah, who asks, does it depend on people's type of intelligence or experience on a topic, whether they like to learn from complexity or simplicity?
I feel like you have an answer that I would be interested in, or you have a need right now. You're welcome to type it in. What is your need? So I love simplicity. I love it, but there comes a point where I need enough inspiration for me to rest in a question or engage in a question. Did you want to add to that? Is there a need, Sarah?
So actually she wrote something else, which maybe is indeed a clarification. She says, like the embryo development that is complex but sequential. So do you kind of break things into sequences?
Yeah, yes. Today what I did is establish an embryonic rhythm with you. So that was my simplicity. That was what I offered you to carry the complexity in. So for people that through the Zoom or through where they are right now didn't get that, they maybe didn't get the support of what I would call the simplicity. Yes, I create a lot of simplicity. I create a lot of classes where you have a expected timing. So we're gonna do three people, we're gonna do it three times, and each time you're gonna do this, this, and this. And so there's an underlying rhythm that people can feel supported by and enter into the true engagement or learning. So it's a good way to think of your multi-layered teaching. Like what are you offering to hold the embodiment of evolution, embryology, anatomy, cellular activity, what are you offering in time, in space, with your voice? What can you offer? Maybe one more, and then we can take 10 minutes for another fun exploration in the body.
Wonderful. Yeah, then Sarah was clarifying. So Sarah, let us know if it's fine. Like, and then we had a question from Simon, who was asking, how have you researched? But now I'm not sure at which point of your talk it came up. If it's still relevant, Simon, could you give a bit of not relevant anymore? All right. So probably it was answered.
I love to talk about research. So, but yeah, Sarah, I just read the rest of your response is when people shut down because it's too complex. In somatic body training, we would offer something like an autonomic rhythm. Here we have the embryological rhythm. Or we would offer, say, the clarity of the bones to help shift people out of confusion and give one thing that can become simple and clear. I don't know if bones are simple and clear, but because we have marrow and we have hard bone and we have bone building up bone, we have breaking down bone, but the fact that it has a shape, maybe you could just all do that right now because I'm talking about it, just knock on bone. So embryos are still in the cartilaginous bone, but we're here now. So maybe to hold all this fluid membrane self, we need to kind of elicit some of our true body grown up state right now and go to bone, go to your skull. So just because we've entered into embryology doesn't mean we are an embryo. All right, let's get up for a minute. Let's do something fun. Let's see. Yeah, just maybe knock on your bones some more, find bone. I call it echolocation. So you're using actually enough touch that you're feeling the vibration through your bones. So this is, just do that for a little bit. Can you knock on bone enough to, like kids like to do that. They like, yeah, so that you feel the reverberation in your body. There we go. So there we go. I'm seeing some get to the reverberation. So really kind of for a moment, as much as it feels pleasurable, kind of like hammer your bones just gently and in a fun way that you feel the reverberation. Okay. And let that vibration, let's travel to anywhere in your body. You need it, you want it. Let that vibration just travel through, just arrive. And also in a grown-up body, let your synapses release. Just twitch and move on for a moment. This twitching movement. Come into your grown up human body for a moment. Yeah. So I'm gonna talk about different ways that cells move. And right now, Right now, I'm going to go all the way back for you meditators, physicists, all the way back to Brownian movement. So you're going to go to the fact that we are like all elements in the world. We exist as rocks exist. We exist as water. We exist in fluid. And Brownian movement is a movement on a molecular level that is randomness, is the fact that there's randomness. So see if you want it, see how deeply you want to take that in, that even within the cells on a more microscopic level, on more smaller, you're going to the elements, you're going to the chaotic, random possibility of existence. So that's suborganic. This is where you are like stars, where you are like dust, where you are like anything that exists in our universe, air, light. And from there, I want you to capture up the fact, go back to the cells, and let's come back to the cell membranes, these shimmering houses, these shimmering houses of trillions of cells. And because you're in this conference and because you're in your life, allow these different shimmering cell membranes to reflect all the different impressions you have right now in your body from this conference. Let the cell membranes from the outside just shimmer with all this information. The cells, eventually all the information gets to the cells and all information starts from the cells. And the membranes are brains that decide what to engage with. So taking that opportunity to know that each of your cells are enveloped with membranes and that they have a lot of movement possibility. You can go to your skin. And in this membrane, feel the vibration. Maybe now from the inside of your cells, look from the inside, from the nucleus, see yourself from the inside reflected back into your inside of each of your trillions of cells, knowing themselves. And now switch to the fluids inside the cell, the change of pressure that your cells can have in different parts of your body and different organs, and feel this fluid within the cells. Fluid wants to expand out to the membrane, fluid moves. And now allow the fluids around the cells. So there's fluid transferring through the cells, and there's fluids on the inside of the cells, and there's fluid floating around the outside of the cells, the interstitial fluid. This is all cellular from different points of view. Now we're the fluid that flows around the cells, allows the cells to be slippery and Move. And now I'm going to do, I think you have enough information, but because it's complexity, this is the exploration. When you think of cells, do you think of a ball? Well, let me add in something that's been taken out of our embryo, our cells for many, 100 years. And now they're bringing back the cilia. Every cell has, depending where it's at, it has different hairs that move. And it has one, it's either called a flagellum or a cilia. Let's see if we da da da. And it's like a whip. Like a sperm has one. We know the sperm. And it moves. So all of the cells in embryology have a cilia that moves them. So they are mobile. So many of our cells still have this mobile cilia. All of them still have the antenna. So I'm layering information in here. We're getting towards the end. We have mobile cells that are able to propel themselves in embryonic space. They are able to swish their cilia and move fluid around the cells. And I'm going to show you what am I going to show you here? I'm going to show you a picture of This is not what I want to show you. Sorry. Okay, let me share again. Here's a cell that actually shows the flagella. And they say cilia are flagella, so just know that. And here is a cell, a movement of the cell, the flagella or cilia. This is like a propeller. And this is like a whip. So if you take your hand and you would whip, you do one acceleration, you let it go. And that turns into a cell. Okay, that's not showing. Oh, it's wanting to sell me something, so I'm sorry. This is an actual cell where the base of the cilia stays in our cell. So we have that little hazelnut cilia. And that becomes very important because it travels into the cell. It creates its own grandson or granddaughter. They pull apart in the cell and they pull the DNA apart. Woo! All right, talk about a lot of complexity. I'm gonna come back to you. So cells have flagella or cilia, they can move. This is how they move.
Sorry, I have to interrupt you.
Yes, we have 4 minutes to finish. So I'm going, thank you, Sylvia. Let me get out of the share.
We actually have to finish now. I'm so sad.
Okay, so let me just say 30 seconds.
Yes, of course.
I've heaped complexity into you. Accept it. Breathe for a moment. Stop looking toward the, you have this in your body. You have the cilia, you have the cells, you have the fluids, you have the membranes. We're just remembering and we're bringing it up to our brain. You got it. Thank you.
Oh, Christine, thank you so much. It was beautiful and it was incredible to read from the chat how everyone was like experiencing what you were talking about with different words, but I felt the very same feeling. It was crazy to read. So thank you so much. And because there was so much interest, please tell us where we can find more about you and about your work.
Cool. Yeah, keep writing in the chat. I can read the chat later and know more about you. Yes, somaticbody.com. I am planning to do another online embryology course. I haven't set the time for it yet, but if you go to my website, Somatic Body, you'll see what I'm up to and you can put yourself on the mailing list and get the information. You can also go to Somatic Body on the Facebook and see me under Odd Embodiment, my latest anti-COVID research fun. Wonderful. Really nice to play with you this morning.
Thank you. And then let me remind all our guests that with this incredible amount of knowledge we're getting from wonderful people like you, now I would invite you to get a hold onto this amount of goodness. If you haven't done it yet, you can buy the whole library of the conference by going to theembodimentconference.org/upgrade. And if you were doubting about it, this is a good moment to do that, because as from the end of the conference, the price will double. So now you can get it for half the price and secure all these sessions that you will be able to watch and digest in time. Good. So if you want to connect to each other, please do that into the Facebook group and join the coffee breaks. And before I thank you all and say goodbye, let me go back to Christine to ask her her final top tip to stay embodied.
Besides my title, I want to say that our body, our cells, do not only exist when we think them. They exist always. They are there, and they are more complex and sensational that all of us can wrap our minds around. So enjoy the billions of years of evolution inside you.
I love this. Oh, thank you so much, Christine. Thank you so much to all of you who have joined and shared your experience, because it was wonderful to read and be here with you. Thank you so much. Enjoy your last days of conference. Bye.